Thank you very much for talking to me today, Madeline. I was so impressed with your film. It's one of the most well-crafted filmic experiences I've had all year. I noticed that you're actually got quite an interesting professional background. You're a writer as well as a producer and as a director, and you've been an actor as well, is that right?
I've come from the theatre. I'm an animal from the theatre.
Yeah, right. Okay, so tell me about, and I noticed that the three films that you've done are very intimate spaces. Like you use cars in a way that is almost a metaphor the modern world, I'd have to say.
Yes, I suppose so. Did you see my film Elsewhere, that short film?
I
That,
haven't.
yeah,
I was just
that
reading
was.
this storylines, and I thought, oh my goodness, there's something very compelling about this.
Yeah, it's the breakup of a relationship seen from three episodes inside a car. Same car, different time, same people, but yeah. Anyway, cars. Yeah, there is an intimacy. It is a well, it's a space that you can create, a very elliptical. When you get inside a taxi with someone, you can sometimes really connect and know so much about that person without knowing their CV, where they were born, where they're from, what their name is, anything. But you can share things. And that's quite a fascinating thing about being a human being, that we have a sixth sense in terms of when it comes to connecting with each other. And in this film, Damage, I kind of composed the progress of two people who have a certain banal hostility to each other, and then who actually realize that, well, they're both lying to each other, but in a way, but they realize that they really do have something in common. And I found that to be a cry for sort of humanity, a cry for trust, acknowledgement, understanding. In this outside world that is about framing people and putting people in categories and teaching us to hate each other, really, setting us against each other.
Well, that you do this fantastic thing where you have perspectives that the camera gives us, and it takes a while for the viewer to actually formulate understanding of what it is we're watching, we're looking at. So the perspective is over the top, and then there's a pattern, and then you suddenly worked out what the pattern actually is in the real world. Tell me about what your thought processes were when you were constructing this film.
Well, there was also always this sort of zone called the outside world in the script, in the original script. There's the inside world of the taxi, which is human beings, and there's this outside world, if you like, which is m being militarized, being controlled. It's technologically driven, and it's so foreign to what's our flesh and blood and what we have with each other, you know. And so, yeah, I wanted to kind of position these two people not in a real city that we recognize, but inside a taxi, which is almost they could be the last two people on earth in a way. I mean, that, you know, they don't have to be. It's very open to interpretation, but there's only two people in this film, and yet they live in this huge world that we see. So yeah, there was always that concept in the script that I needed to juxtapose what's going inside the car with what's outside the car, because we carry that inside of us. Ali, in memory, Ali carries inside the character of Ali, he carries the memory of what's happened to him. And so does the character, Mrs. Brown, Esther Brown. She's driven, she's on a mission. So we have these motivations, we have these where we have this personal psychology that, if for both cases, is well, it's themed around the word damage. They're two damaged people, but we ask ourselves, why are they damaged? What are their values? What world are they living in? And it's an examination of that. So there are very, very big issues in the film, even though only a little film.
And the damage is you can't escape from the fact that you feel like the world is damaged as well. I mean, of course, there's all these threads running through the film, and it's just so beautifully made. You've made such a beautiful film. This is the best one of the, I say, I swear, this is the best film I think I've seen all year. I was watching it, and I've seen some good films, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is so well crafted. And you touch so many political and human rights issues in this film, like deftly, like a surgeon, without even the viewer feeling that they've. It's like being on a bus and then suddenly having a conversation with, oh, it's like being in the demonstrations for the Palestinians that I've been to over the last week, and talking to somebody and they're telling me about the smell of the rubble where the bodies will be. And I'm thinking, oh my God. This is just such an amazing film. The characters, the people acting in it, how did you prepare them for the roles?
They're both non-actors. They've never performed on film before. It was very important to me to find someone who could bring their own experience to the film. Ali Al-Janabi, I saw him on stage when he was at the Sydney Writers' Week launching a book a long time ago, launching a book that was written by Robin de Crespigny. And he was the subject of that book. And I saw him on stage with Robin talking about the book, and I just thought, that's the guy. That's the guy for my film. It took me a year to convince him to do it. The old woman is my mother, actually. Imelda Burke is my mum. She was a singer, a great singer. And I didn't ever look anywhere else. I just wanted to, she's just got such an expressive face. And I knew that I wanted that. I wanted somebody who wouldn't act. And well, when I say wouldn't act, actors are great at not acting. So yeah, I just wanted to get her expressive face. It's a portrait of two people. There's a lot of close-ups. They're in a car for the whole film. So the faces are really important. And I knew that she had that range of expressions that I wanted to get for Esther Brown.
Well, you preempted that question about the close-ups, and the fantastic alienation sequence when they lo have lost each other at that car wash. That was the timing in that, like the pacing and timing. How did you work that out?
Well, basically, that was a guy called Rafael Rivera, who was the editor. And he did the most extraordinary job, and it was more than an editing job. We made the film in the cutting room, as they all say, that the film is made in the cutting room. And Raphael was, went on a very long journey with me through the ups and downs, like through the shoots. We would do the data wrangling late at night, and then he would rather. I'd be asleep on the floor somewhere. And he was extraordinary, and it was his first film. First feature that he's edited, he was straight out of film school. He's a hugely talented storyteller, and so it was really his touch that brought that to it.
Yeah, well, it's a very fine touch. It's the music to the sounds, the things that you decide to use. That's really fascinating as well. How did you work out?
I was writing the script, and I heard Peter Knight's 9 years later from Way Out West. I heard it on the radio. I didn't know where it was, but I stopped and I thought, that's the music for the film. That's got everything that's in my film, the big world, the internal world, all the ideas, the technology, the wireless scratching. So I didn't know where in the world that music came from. And then I found out that it was Peter Knight, and I contacted him, and he was incredibly supportive and generous, and allowed me to use his music and some other tracks of his. Similarly, I was working over a really long period of time with an Iraqi musician who was from the Iraqi National Orchestra, Mohammed Amin Mardan, and he's a composer, a musicologist, and an incredible cello player. And, you know, I was out in his little studio in his flat in the Western suburbs, and we were watching the film, exploring sounds for it. I would bring ideas. He would send me ideas. I think music is something that's really, really important to me. And I needed the music. And so I needed to work with the musicians like that. And it was just, it was great. I think the music's great. And Peter Knight was just so generous. And Jem Savage also worked on it with me. So Kate Reed did some piano, some of her piano compositions are in it. And yeah, so there was quite a lot of music in it. It was very important, the musical element in it. And also the radio in the car has music that comes out of it. And they talk about music. The two actors, the characters, they while she's singing, Ali's talking about music. They're at cross purposes in that scene, and that's something I wanted to say. It's not easy to connect with another person. We are all so different. We can't understand each other entirely, but there was an acknowledgement of that difference between them.
Oh, yeah, it's just so fantastic. I've got hardly any time, and there's so many things I want to ask you about. One of them, which is kind of an irrelevancy, but the plot and the way it's constructed is very similar to, say, Driving Miss Daisy, or there was one recently, a French film with a taxi driver and
Driving Madeleine, I think.
Yeah, Driving Madeleine. And each of them have used the space really well, but this is something completely different because it takes us into our real world and the politic that we actually deal with. And those two films seem to me like a backdrop to what you've done, and this is like a bas relief of clarity. It's quite extraordinary. I haven't got any time to talk to you anymore, but congratulations. I think your film is so fantastic, and I'll watch out for every film you make from now on.
Thanks. Great. Nice to meet you. Bye, Annie.